Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Asian Americans are responding with some frustration and outrage to two things from the last 2 weeks. First, a segment on the Fox News show The O'Reilly Factor, featuring correspondent Jesse Waters, eliciting several stereotypes while interviewing Asian Americans about the presidential election right here in Manhattan's Chinatown neighborhood. Ronnie Chiang, an Asian American political correspondent on Comedy Central's The Daily Show, reacted to the Fox News segment by expressing the frustration of many minorities who are dismayed by the blatant racism they still encounter, particularly in this presidential election.
How was that on the news? In fact, how was that even on TV? Where the f*** did this come from? I mean, everyone's been wondering who'd be the target of 2016's worst racism. I didn't even know Asians were in the running.
Listeners, Asian Americans in particular, let's hear from you. Call 212-433-9692. That is 212-433-WNYC. On the heels of this Fox News segment that we talked about, another Asian American had a racist encounter of a much more personal nature, which resonated with his community. Our colleague over at the New York Times, investigative Metro Desk editor Michael Luo, was out with his family and friends recently on Manhattan's Upper East Side when a woman who was rushing down the sidewalk and struggling to get around Michael and his family yelled in a fit of frustration, "Go back to China." Michael Luo lamented this encounter in an open letter to the racist pedestrian, which was published in the New York Times. In response to his letter, his social media feeds were flooded with stories from people of all backgrounds, but especially those of Asian American descent, with stories about their encounters with racial taunts. We'd like to continue that conversation now, so listeners, especially those of you who are Asian American, call us now with your stories about being the target of racial taunts and how those encounters, as well as the nature of this 2016 election, has impacted your opinions about what is supposed to be a racially diverse and racially tolerant country. Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That is 212-433-9692, and I'll take your calls after this short break.
Okay, some things aren't so great when you do them in half the time.
Here's your 3-minute egg, gorgeous.
But that was only a minute and a half.
You're welcome.
Italy.
But some things are great when you do them in half the time, like our upcoming All the Money in Half the Time fall fundraiser. Less interruption will mean more of the election coverage you rely on. Your contribution right now will make it a success. Go to WNYC.org and click on Donate.
WNYC is supported by the New York Botanical Garden, featuring Kiku, the Art of Japanese Garden, through October 30th, 20 minutes on Metro North from Grand Central, more at nybg.org. Adelphi University, now accepting applications for MFA in Creative Writing full tuition fellowships and hosting its grad open house November 6th, adelphi.edu. WNYC is a media partner for the New York Community Trust Nonprofit Excellence Awards, a program of the Nonprofit Coordinating Committee that educates New Yorkers about nonprofit management. Details about the 6 finalists at npccny.org.
93.9 FM, WNYC, NPR News and the New York Conversation.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show. Filling in for Brian today, I'm Juan Manuel Benitez. We are taking your calls in response to a recent incident in which New York Times Metro editor Michael Luo was told by a stranger to go back to China. Let's say that Michael Luo actually is Asian American, but was born and raised here in this country, in the United States. You can call us at 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC, with your stories like this one. And let's start with Desmond in Crown Heights. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show, Desmond.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Tell us, do you have a story to share with us?
Well, it's not so much a story as just an observation about the general status of race relations in this country. The United States, and for the most part, media all over the world, it portrays whites as the majority dominant culture, the acceptable culture. And what's been happening in the United States as we're moving towards a majority-minority population is fear and anxiety among the some of the white culture, and I put white in quotes, but this kind of thing has been happening and observed with going even as far as race riots in the United Kingdom, Australia, South Africa, where anytime the minorities begin to present themselves more prominently in the population, there's tremendous unsettling, particularly from the economically lower class people who are considered white. Mm-hmm. And as far as this happening to Asians in this country, that problem is seen as being a major one in California, where they have basically subverted the university system to their needs. But it mirrors what happened to Jews back in the 30s as far as the Ivy League colleges, where they were not accepted, and then they began mm-hmm. to apply and be able to be accepted, but were at that time, they still tried to keep them modeled down. It's about ascendancy within the population mm-hmm. and competing for what other people consider their place in society.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Desmond. We're going to take another call. Laura. Laura is in Chinatown. Laura, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I live right around the corner from where that Fox News segment was filmed. And I also read the article that made front page news yesterday by Michael Lowe. And what's interesting to me is I want to know more about the New York Times decision to put it on, yes, the bottom right of their front page, but on the front page regardless. It definitely has to do with the election that's happening. But my point with this is, unfortunately, I'm speaking as an Asian American woman, this unfortunately is not new. And I want to know, was the point of the New York Times putting it on the front page to let other people who don't realize this is happening every day
to educate them on this? You do think that this is happening every day and it's happened to you?
Absolutely. Like, I read this and I was like, wow, this is heartfelt. It has the immediacy effect because it's a reporter, the most educated, eloquent person with well intentions. But this isn't news. Like, this shouldn't be on the front page. And maybe, again, it has to do with the immediacy with the election and the currency of it all. But there was very little that I could learn from this by reading it, unfortunately.
Okay. Thank you very much, Laura. We're going to go to Tony in Westbury, Long Island. Tony, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
So my story was that I'm a Korean American. I was born and raised in New York City. And I was at a deli one time, and I asked the lady for help. And she said, oh, you speak English. I don't think she meant it, you know, ill-intentioned. But it kind of offended me because, you know, I'm a United States Marine. I was born and raised here. I joined the Marine Corps, served my country. And it was kind of offensive, and it got me thinking. And I felt that the United States of America followed the race relations of the United States Marine Corps, which is an organization where truly it's your actions that dictate what people think of you. And it's not. We don't see color. We don't see race. We don't see religion. And it's actually our diversity. That the diversity is where we draw our strength from, if that makes sense.
Thank you very much for your story, Tony. We're going to go with Doug in Princeton, New Jersey. Doug, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
So you have a story, a similar story that will happen to the New York Times editor?
Yeah, actually, I have a similar story, and I also have a kind of a conversation that I had with on Twitter as a result of the Michael Lowe story with someone that I thought might be almost like a white supremacist type. And so, you know, basically this same thing has happened to me many times, and notably in Washington, D.C., once my wife and I were walking down the street, and an African-American man said, "Hey, why don't you go back to China?" And that was probably the first time, you know, another minority had said that. And we got into an argument with him saying, "Look, we were born here, et cetera, et cetera." And I was so tempted to say, you know, "Hey, why don't you know, how would you like if I said go back to Africa?" But I, you know, I didn't say that because that's just not acceptable. But why is it, why did he feel it accept, you know, why did another minority feel it is acceptable to put me down because I'm a minority? So that was a real surprising one. The other one, and made me feel really almost depressed about the state of race relations in America, that it's not just white people.
Yes, I think we lost. Yes, Doug? Sit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're back in the air.
Sorry. And then, you know, so Michael Lowe's tweet, someone else tweeted saying, you know, why are you attacking white people for this stuff? And Michael said, "I'm not." And the guy said, "Well, you know, have you ever thought about white people's feelings?" So I tweeted to him, "Hey, you know, okay, explain to me what are white people's feelings?" And he gave me his phone number. And so I called him and said, "Hey, you know, what's the story?" And I actually learned that, you know, he has nothing against Asian people. He even speaks Chinese. He's from Texas. And but he's like, "Look, anytime somebody mentions white people, you know, and diversity, it's like you guys are just blaming everything on me. And I'm sick of it. A lot of people are sick of it." So we actually had a pretty constructive dialogue. And it's kind of like that's the type of dialogue we need to have, as opposed to saying, "Why don't you go back to here? And why are you a white supremacist, et cetera?" But I worry that the Donald Trump presidency is making it okay for people to
say those
say
things.
This stuff again.
Okay. Thank you so much, Doug. We're going to go with Timothy, Upper West Side. Timothy, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, I grew up here all my life, for over 40 years living in New York City. I've always experienced racism from many different classes and group of people. But I think recently, you know, I live on the Upper West Side, and it's a very affluent neighborhood. And I have experienced it in a supermarket recently, whereby somebody would say to me, "Hey, go back to your country." And it's weird. But the part that's difficult now about, and it's really poignant in terms of Michael's tweet or note, was the fact that the Fox News didn't condemn it when it came out, when they knew that it was offensive. I understand that Donald Trump is who he is, and the political environment is not ideal. But when a news media endorses something like this, it's very heartbreaking, because we know that there are going to always be people like this, and there's going to be people with their opinion being racist. But when a news station endorses something like that, it makes it okay, and that's the part that is very difficult to accept as an Asian American.
What do you think, Timothy? The fact that Fox News wouldn't really see anything wrong with that segment that they played on the air.
Yeah, that's the part that is exceptionally... Bill O'Reilly is not my cup of tea, and he's very conservative. The things he says is very, I oftentimes find offensive. But at the end of the day, he's not an educated individual, and sometimes he does make sense. For something like this, he could have taken this opportunity to condemn it, so that even the viewers, there are many Asian Americans who are conservative, who are Republicans, who do watch Fox News, but even those I've spoken to are so offended by this, it makes me wonder if the entire news network or Bill O'Reilly is okay with the fact of alienating even Asian American Republicans. That's really heartbreaking.
Thank you so much, Timothy. We're going to go with Diana. Diana, she's in Manhasset, New York. And Diana, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi, thanks for taking the call, and thanks for the great follow-up on Brian's absence.
Thank you.
I have a story, because I'm a Caucasian American, born here. My mom was born in Italy. I married 25 years ago a Singaporean whom I met when we were both students at Baruch College. And I since became mayor of my village here in Manhasset. In any event, one day we were both shopping for a toaster at Macy's on Northern Boulevard. This is a pretty much white community here. And this couple came to my husband. We were not exactly standing next to each other, and said, "Where are the toasters?" And my husband ignored them because he's frankly used to being addressed in what is a that kind of a situation. It's happened to him countless times in our 25 years of being together. But I turned around without malice. I just simply said, "Guys, I just want, I'm not mad, but I just want you to consider why you thought it was okay to assume that this person worked here. Just ask yourself what was in your thought process." Because I, unlike the lady who just was saying about the New York Times, she was upset that it was on the front page, I feel that it's important for us to say very calmly and slowly, check your assumptions. Why are you saying what you said? Why are you thinking what you're thinking? Because I think a lot of it is by rote and not necessarily out of malice. They just it's just assumed. So that's what I'd like to say.
Thank you so much, Diana. Thank you so much. This is the Brian Lehrer Show. We've been talking about Asian Americans facing racism here in the United States, even those who are born and raised here.